Great. Okay, Gemara in Sanhedrin. Here we go. Quite an intriguing Gemara. Am Yudam Rab Masa, but the Mechad Shenatani Einabi Shachat. So this man looks at a woman, the Helelu Botina, and he has improper thoughts, but apparently he becomes incredibly lovesick about this woman. The Ubo V'Shol Rofim, and they ask the doctors. V'Amu the doctors say, Ein Lo Takana Ad Shetiba El. Ein Lo Takana. There's no way to remedy to fix the situation till they have relations. Okay? Not exactly sure where these guys got their medical training. Okay, most of the people, don't worry, they did not go to Sophie Davis. It's okay. Okay, but the diagnosis is, right, they have to be together or he's going to die. So now we're going to have this dialogue, this constant dialogue between the doctors and the Chachamim. Amu Chachamim, Yamut Val Tibolo. So the sages say, sorry, we don't care, he's going to die. Now, before we move on to Gemara, what halachic category does this seem to fit into? Like, why would that be? Daniel Ferber? And therefore, it's a case of Yehar Egvah. Excellent. We know that halacha prizes life tremendously. If you have a clash, almost always you would say, do the Averah to stay alive, right? Eat treif to stay alive. Be Mechal Shabbos to stay alive. But there are three famous exceptions, right? Of course, murder, idolatry, and sexual immorality. So Daniel Ferber says, maybe let's put it to category three. Right, as an example, you can't engage in sexual morality to save your life. So yamut va'al tibelo. Okay, but now the doctors have some more suggestions. Okay, let's keep in mind, because there's going to be three levels, and the difference between the levels are important. Tamod lefanav aruma. What's the doctor's next suggestion? All right, maybe he'll be calm if he just gets to see her once without her clothes. They don't actually have to be together. Let her just see her naked. Okay, guys, everything is always, it's all in Parshat Bereishit. Where's aruma in Parshat Bereishit? Adam Chava are arumim, right? They're naked. What does it say in the next pasuk? Hanachash haya arum. What does it mean there? Cunning. See, because whether Chumash has play on words, it does right there, right? It purposely contrasts arumim and arum. Okay. In any case, what did the Chum say once again? Yamut v'al tamul for the rosari. It's still a death penalty issue, not a death penalty. Sorry, still a case for martyrdom, I should say. Okay. Suggestion three: to saper imo mechriya gader. Let them just have a conversation behind the fence. I mean, she's behind the fence. He will not even see her. Yamut v'lo tisaper mechriya gader. Now, obviously, at this point, let's go back to Daniel Ferber's category. Daniel Ferber said the reason why this is a case of yamut, martyrdom as it were, is because it's gilei arayot. What question we obviously have to ask now? Yeah, Natana? What sort of thing is she saying? Okay, well, I'll cut. Yeah, Moses? That was a clever point, actually.
It's not actually.
Yeah, wait, we seem to have left Arayot in stage one. Actually being together would seemingly be Arayot, but seeing her naked and certainly a conversation behind the fence would not seem to be Arayot. So how come we're still saying Yamut? Okay, welcome to Avar. Okay, let's read a little more. Okay. Pligi bar Yaakov bidi bar Shmuel bar Nachmani. There's machlokas about this case. Chad amar eshet ish haita. She's a married woman. V'chadam pnuya, the guy's a good modern Hebrew word to know. You ask an Israeli something, he says, ani panui. What does ani panui mean? I'm free, I'm available, I'm single. So was she married or was she single? We're not sure. Okay, now comes a key Talmudic phrase, right? Every bishlama is always followed by Ella. It works out for one, not for the other. Bishlama ne meshi yishaita shapir. What's the claim? This Gemara is more understandable if she was married. What's more understandable? We're so strict because we're talking about a married woman. Ella Lamanda Amar Pnuya Haita, but if she was single, my kulei, what's my kulei? What's all this? What is all this stringency? Now let's step back for a second, guys. There were three stages, right? Actual relations, seeing her naked, and then conversation. This Bishlama question, what would you guys think? Which stage is it, or stages is it asking about? When it says, Eshet Ish makes sense, and Pnuya does not. So Daniel Ferber says, we're picking up on the last stage. Right? Meaning we could understand, even if she's Pnuya, if it's stage one, we'd understand why Chacham would be stringent. Because even being with a Pnuya is halakhically problematic. But we can't understand why stage three would be problematic. And then if Daniel's right, what are we saying? If stage three was Eshet Ish, we'd understand it. If stage three was Pnuya, we wouldn't. What's the alternative reading, of course? We're still talking about all the way back to even stage one. I mean, see, that's a little bit of ambiguity here, right? Gemara goes through three stages and has this Bishlama Ella, But it's not absolutely clear which of the stages we're asking about. So keep that tension in mind, that ambiguity in mind. Okay? Next. So now, either stage one or stage three, we're trying to understand why we're so stringent about Pnuya. Rav Papa, maybe we should pagam mishpacha. What's Rav Papa's suggestion? It's going to be a big shame to the family, right? If this word gets out, right, everyone's going to say, oh, your family's full of sluts, right? This is the way you behave, right? That's where we're doing it. Now notice, pagam mishpacha would be almost like a special edict, as it were. It's not strict letter of the law, would not demand yamut, but it was a special takana because of pagam mishpacha. Same thing for the second answer. Okay, this is a great word to know, guys. What is the literal meaning, before we get to how it's used, the literal meaning of a pirtsa? Do you know what a pirtsa is? Pirtsa is a breach in the wall, right? But that's where the colloquial term pritzos comes from, right? Pritzos is often used, or pritzot, for sexual morality. What it literally means is a breach in the wall. Guys, only two things you need to know everything. One is Parshat Bereishit, the other is Sefer Kohelet. Remember Kohelet keeps going through all those eight lahov, eight lasno, by the time to love, a time to hate. So one of them is eight lifrots, the eight livnot. What does that tell you? Haratz is the opposite of build, right? It's to make a breach. Okay, so that's pritzut. So what's the second claim? It's like to set a standard, right? We let people get away with this, and it creates a lewd atmosphere in Jewish society. So again, but notice the commonality without getting to the difference between pagam mishpacha and pritzut. This is like a special edict. It's not really the strict letter of the law of martyrdom that would demand yamut. Having good so far? So again, just to sum up where so far, we had three stages. Then we had some of those stages, we're not sure which, make more sense if she's Eshadish than if she's Pnuya. Half more justify the Pnuya scenario by suggesting what? It was a special takana, either due to Pagam Mishpach or Putzabayot. I'll make one more point before we go on here. Like, someone could say this is really an odd case. Would such a thing ever happen? So I would make a couple of points about that. One point is, that's the nature of legal systems. Sometimes odd cases are the ones that are best for exploring certain ideas, certain parameters. So how often this would happen is not really such an important question. I think every legal system, like any philosophy class, will work that way. You'll come up with an unusual case to try to work out the parameters. The other thing I would say is, you know, guys, sometimes in life, weird things happen. Like, if I had told you, I don't know, a year ago that a man who brags about groping women in his spare time would be elected president, you'd say that would never happen, right? If I told you a man who says, like, you know, captured war heroes are not heroes because they got captured, you'd say that would never happen, right? So things happen, weird things happen. That's the way it goes. Okay, fine. Let's go to the end of the Gemara. Okay, Vilanasiv Minasiv. Now the Gemara gets to the fascinating question. Wait, what if she kind of likes the guy? They'll get married. We could solve this problem. This poor lovesick guy, he's there dying, moaning. He refuses to eat. Right? Let them get married and we'll solve the problem. Okay. Says the Gemara, lo miyat vadate. This is important. Just a little reading for them, guys. Shins in Hebrew tend to become tufts in Aramaic. So that's why shalosh is tlat. So what's lo miyat vadate? Lo miyashev dato. There's a good Hebrew phrase to know. What does it mean to someone to have yishuv hadat? Yeah, well, yishuv in modern Hebrew is a settlement. So yishuv hadat, will it settle his mind? So let's put it all together. Very fascinating. Lo miyat vadate. What's the claim? This lovesick guy marrying will not calm him down. He'll still be moaning away there. Why is that? When the Midash has been destroyed and life has gotten much tougher, Nitla Tambia, the taste of relations has been taken. V'nitnil Oviver, it's been given to the sinners. Shinemar, Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku, famous Pasuk in Mishlei. What's Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku? Stolen waters are sweet. What's the claim? Sometimes what a person's really interested in is the allure of the forbidden. It's an amazing psychological Gemara. What does Gemara claim? This guy, he's not really interested in her. He is interested in the illicit. So if he marries her, it's not going to be a resolution of his difficulties. Okay? Now, there's a lot of, it's just such an interesting Gemara, a lot of different pieces to it. So we're going to leave aside the question of martyrdom when you have to give up your life, which is really the main topic here, and focus just on this concept. Right? When do we apply this halachic principle, the psychological principle, mind genuvim yimtaku, stolen waters are sweet. Okay, now what are we saying over here? Where are we applying it? With that marriage will not solve the problem. Because he wants her illicit. Now, what was she before she was married? Well, don't we have the Gemara's Eishish, but also Pnuya. So doesn't be suggesting that either way we'd have Mayim Ginuyim Tuk, which makes sense. Maybe you could divide the world into two categories. There are Mutar activities, and there are Asur activities. For all Asur activities, you'll have the Mayim Ginuvim principle. Right? Whether she's married or single, she's still Asurim, and it would be Mayim Ginuvim, and therefore, he doesn't want to marry her, and that's not going to solve his problem. Because once he's married to her, you lose any Isur. Everyone good? Somebody understand what I just said? Did I confuse anybody there? We seem to apply Mayim Ginuvim both to Eish and Ish and to Pnuya. Either way, it would be Mayim Ginuvim, and then marriage will remove the Mayim Ginuvim factor. Okay, let's go to another Gemara in Sanhedrin. Very, very interesting Gemara also. I'm Rav Nachman. HaChashud al Rayon. Kashli. This is a good example, guys, when you know something from one context, it can be a little confusing. One of you said to me, Chashad means prostitution. Okay? Who could tell me that what I love to do in life sometimes is to figure out why a guy made a mistake. I don't know why I love that so much. It's a weird thing, but I like that. Why would someone think Chashad means prostitution? Yeah? Because the Gemara in Brachot says, don't go into Mapola because of Chashad. But Chashad doesn't inherently have to do with sexuality. What does the word simply mean? Suspicion. So let's say if someone who's suspect of having a problem in the sexual realm. Okay? And again, if you're certain kinds of sinners, we don't trust you anymore, maybe we won't let you give testimony. So it's a very interesting sugya in Sanhedrin, what kind of sin should remove your trustworthiness? So what's the claim of Nachman? Very interesting. Kasher Leidud. What's his claim? All right, so what? So the guy has problems in the realm of sexuality, but if he's testifying to, I don't know, the kashrut of a chicken, why would he lie? He's a good guy otherwise. Now, obviously, you have to figure out what chashud ariyot means, but it's not our topic right now. Like, how chashud is he? Do we have concrete evidence that he violated something? But let's leave that be. Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet disagrees. Ani Mari. Answer me, master. Answer me, sir. Arba in bekatfei. Vikasher. What's arba in bekatfei? He has 40 on his shoulder. What's that a way of saying? This guy, we're willing to lash this guy for being chashud ariyot. And you're going to tell me he can still give testimony? He can't be. He's got a large, broad machloket here. Right? Are you kosher for testimony if you are chashur ariyot? Next. It's not relevant to us yet, guys. Get relevant in a second. Amar Rava, umod Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman concedes, l'inyan eidut isha shupasu. Ah, very good idea. Rav Nachman says, just because the guy's got a problem in ariyot doesn't mean you can't trust him in other realms. But what would follow from that? What if he's testifying about a woman's status? If that's the very area where he's got a problem, maybe it's better not to have him as an aid. So he could be a witness in any other halachic realm. He's testifying about a loan, about a sale, right? That's not a problem. But we don't want him testifying about whether a woman's married or single. That makes a lot of sense, right? From Nachman. Okay, next. One more distinction. I'm reading from my papa. Okay, guys, you can't get more important than this. The famous Talmud double negative. Lo Amran Ella. What's Lo Amran Ella? This is only said, La Fuka, to take her out. I mean, when shouldn't we trust the guy? If he's testifying that she is divorced, she's single. Abba Leyula, but to testify that she's married, let them, but we wouldn't say this. It's very logical. What's the principle? Rav Nachman says we suspect the guy of having a bias because he's got a problem. He likes to play the field. So what does he want to say, this guy? He wants to say he's biased to say that she's free. He is not biased to say she's married. That hurts him. So maybe, again, you notice the distinctions? First we said this guy is partially good. Then we said, but not in the realm of women's status. Now what's the further distinction? Even in the realm of women's status, we could say, it's okay if he's testifying that she's married. He has no bias to say she's married. Okay, here we go. Now comes the best part. Okay. Gabe, you with me here? It's good? Okay, guys, Gabe is the best breakdancer in the yeshiva. Okay, I would like to declare that. I have a list of breakdancers. He's the only one on the list. Okay. Okay, here we go. Next. Okay. Pshita.
That's obvious. What's the possible habamina that he's going to lie to say she's married? Why would he say that?
Says the Gemara, Mao detema hadifalei. Good word, guys. Adif. He prefers that. Tichtiv maim genuvim yimtaku. Fascinating.
What's the claim? First, we said he might lie to say she's single. He also might lie to say she's married. Why would he lie to say she's married? He wants to get that Mayim Ginuvim effect. It's so good, right? The allure of the forbidden. I'm going to lie. I mean, someone's going to lie and say that she's married so he could have a Mayim Ginuvim. Kamash Malan,
to come out the kaimachi shrichle. Now I want to point out one thing. In the Gemara, it's just a hava amina. Haven't got the terminology down? The Gemara does not accept this at the end of the day. But it does have a hava amina to say he's going to be biased in both directions. He might lie to free her up. He might lie to say she's married in order to create maim genuvim yimtak. Okay, haven't got the Gemara down? Okay, let's ask two questions. One less, much less exciting, one really, really interesting. We'll start with the less exciting question, that's also a question. What are we claiming? Let's say this woman's actually single. He's going to lie and say she's married. Why? He wants the maim genuvim effect. But wait, but even if she's single, if they're not married to each other, it's still halachah yasser for them to be together. So the maim genuvim effect was already in place. Like, why does he need to lie to say she's married? But a single man and a single woman also can't be together in halacha. So that's the Aruch Lener's question, Rabbi Yaakov Ellinger, very from Bor Nachman. I think the answer is pretty straightforward. Max, what would you say? Oh, Aaron?
Light at the end of the tunnel.
She's married, like you don't have that light. Like you know that. Oh, that's interesting. That's a very intriguing answer. Yeah.
There's even more.
Like, yeah, even maybe more. Again, I phrased it before. There's only two categories in this world. There's mutter things that have no mind genuvim allure, and there's also things that have the allure of mind genuvim. What if I say there is a scale? There's a range. These are interesting psychological point. If you really like the allure of the forbidden, maybe, so to speak, the more usser, the better. You can very interesting to apply this in other categories. It'd be really interesting, guys. Like, let us say this is you. You're really a maim genuvim guy, which could be outside of sexuality also. So I have a great example. So we decide, let's say, okay, here we go. Who should we pick on here? Not pick on, just pick somebody. Okay, we'll go with Ben Schiff. He's such a serious guy. No one can take it seriously. Ben Schiff and I are hanging around the east side of Manhattan, and we have a major maim genuvim attack. So we run to the nearest, White Castle. Does White Castle still exist? I need a tray restaurant. Give me a tray restaurant. Okay, no, local McDonald's, right, to have some tray food together to realize our maim genuvim itch. So I go there and I order a chicken and cheese sandwich. What does Ben Schiff say to me? Rabbi Blau, you blew it. Yeah, it's only Durabanan. You're not going to get the real maim genuvim. You're not going to get the real maim genuvim impact. Right? I'm smarter. I went with a cheeseburger. Right? That's his whole debate on cheeseburger. Enough for now. Okay, so in any case, right? So that maybe there's a scale of maim genuvim. So what? It's true. She was usher when she was single. But married's even better. Okay, so that's how Aruch Ner works it out. Maim genuvim could work on a range. Yeah. Oh, you just isn't very clever. Okay, meaning, we'll get to your point in a second. Okay, but you also made an interesting point. Like, maybe you need the, almost to be attached to religion to have the maim genuvim effect to begin with. Right? If you're totally divorced, you can't have, that's interesting, but not for us right now. Okay, someone once said you have to be a believer to do blasphemy, actually. Okay, all right, let's go on. Okay, but there's another question. There's a more basic question, guys, beyond that. And Rav Noam read this Gemara, he asked the question right away. Okay, what are we saying? We shouldn't trust this guy in each direction. Why not? He might lie that she's single because he wants to be with her. He might lie that she's married in order to create the maim genuvim impact. Wait, let's think about that for a second. He might lie and say she's married to create the maim genuvim effect. But what does that mean? She's single. So even if he convinces the court, he knows in his heart that she's not married. So it's not the allure of the forbidden. Right? What do you mean? He knows he's not. Let's say, for whatever reason, he has a hankering for a married woman. She's not married. He might have convinced the court, but it's not the truth. So the court makes no sense. What does the hav mean to say it creates the maim genuvim effect? It's just not true. Alex? So Joey and Alex, this is really interesting. Maybe somehow society's attitude is relevant to the maim genuvim impact. We'll get to that in a second. Excellent. Max?
I say that she's now labeled as a married woman, and therefore even if he gets caught in the end, the punishment will be commensurate with the sin of...
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying the thrill means... Part of the thrill is that you might get caught and punished.
Right. According to as a married woman, you don't...
Okay, that's fascinating. You're a very good psychologist here. Yeah, Daniel Ferber.
Exactly. I said before, it's like a double whammy. One, you get to lie about it. And two, is that you kind of get to be with her. So then it's a double forbidden thing.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, Joe?
I was thinking that if the way bias works is like often... You'll actually try and trick yourself to believe what you want. So, like, he doesn't really know, he kind of has an idea. And then, like, his bias that he wants it to be.
Wow. Okay, those are three great answers. Excellent. Okay, put that in your swarm, guys. Joe Stanton, very good. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so let us look at two answers we see in the Achronim. Okay, I'm going to go to page 5. Now here I have to admit, I've learned something from Rav David. Okay, as you guys know, when you make source sheets, there are two basic things people use now. A lot of people use Safari because that's free. It's going to the link. And a lot of us who own the Bar Ilan or have access to it use the Bar Ilan. I use the Bar Ilan. So it's made my life so much easier, right? Because you don't have to type in sources for your source sheet or do the old cut and paste photocopying. Right? The only person left in Amersfield still cuts and pastes is Rabbinic. Okay, but the rest of us, you use Bar Ilan. Okay, but then you have a problem. Even with all Bar Ilan has, right, there's still sources that aren't there. So what do you do? So I often type them in. But you know, Rav David just figured out, he always finds some of the source that is there that quotes that source. Right, so then, let's say, I don't know, for sake of argument, there's some obscure source that's not there. Let's say, I don't know, the Netziv on Chumash is not there. So I'm in my Chumash here typing in the Hamik Dabar. So Rav David will look around. Maybe there's some later Achron somewhere in the world who quoted that Netziv, who is in the Bar Ilan. Right, and he saves himself the typing. So here's a good example. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is an important Musar book called Sichas Musar. Sichas Musar is not in the Bar Ilan, but luckily there's this thing called Daf Al Daf that quotes it, so I did not have to type it in. So let's skip to source 5 for a second. Okay. Omer HaGon Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Actually, this is important to know for a second, guys. We have to do a Jewish history tangent for a second. Okay. I know some of you know because we discussed this during the Tiol. Okay. As we know, unfortunately, the Shoah decimated the world of European yeshiva. And many yeshiva students in Rosh Yeshiva were killed in the Shoah. There's one yeshiva that basically survived in total. Okay. I want to know which yeshiva and how they survived. Alex. Good. And how they survived? Good. How do you know that? Okay. Very good. There was one of the Hasidim Umot Olam. One of the righteous members of the Gentile world is a Japanese fellow named? Anyone know? Wait, where's a... Oh, Yonah Schwartz is not here. Who else? Ben Jip, do you remember his name? Okay, his name was Sugihara. And he gave them visas to escape Europe, and they ended up spending World War II in Shanghai. It's a very famous thing. So the Mir Yeshiva did survive the war. I'm pretty sure, right? I don't know if Chaim Shmulevitz was there with him, right? I think he was there with him. Okay, so it's interesting. This fellow we're quoting now was first Rebbe in Europe, then was in Shanghai during World War II. Then they made a branch in Brooklyn, a branch in Yerushalayim. He was one of the yeshivas of the branch in Yerushalayim. So you've never done it at some point this year. You should go see the mirror in yeshiva in Yerushalayim because it's probably the biggest yeshiva in the history of Judaism. Okay, in terms of how many people are learning in it on a given a daily basis. This is what Chaim Shmulevitz has to say. Omer HaGon Chaim Shmulevitz. Ad heichan magia hadimayon v'hatava. Amazing. How far you could arrive, the dimayon? Imagination. Lishtachrer me'ol. What does it want? It wants to release you from the burden. It just loves it, right? Okay, let us skip to the end of the third line. Of a lo be'emet, he knows it's not true. Vazmayim genuvim yimtako. So what does he want to say? It's the power of the human imagination, right? Even though you know that she's really unmarried, but you create that artificial sense as if she was, that's good enough. Right? It's to that extent, humanity would like to do the illicit. Okay? Even if you know it's not true, and you could throw in some of the stories you guys said, Max says you like the possibility of punishment, and Joe says you actually create the reality in your own mind. Right? It sounds more like Joe, actually. Right? You actually make it feel, you convince yourself, and you can create the mind doing effect. Okay, let's go back to Archoner. I think the Archoner says it a little differently. You could say it's the same thing, I don't think so. Let's go back to source 4. Now again, one of you guys had a funny mistake. One of you guys said it, but he's drunk. Guys, that would be only spelled with? Yeah, shin kufresh, not shin kufresh. Okay, like sheikhar. He knows he's lying. So why is it stolen water? If she's a single woman, what can he do? He can hang out with her. No one's going to make a big deal of it. People are going to talk, right? You don't hang out in married women's houses all the time. He has to approach her. What does that mean, guys? Very good, guys. Remember, it all goes back to Breshit. Hey Chavei is time. Where is that in Parshat Breshit? Right, that's the verb used to describe. Anybody who hides in Parshat Breshit? Adam and Chava, that's the verb. In fact, if you play tag in Israel today, tag is tofeset. But one kind of tag is called tofeset machboim. What kind of tag is that? Tofeset machboim. Hide and go seek, right? Because it's all the same word, right? Chet bet alf is to hide. See, guys, if you just pay attention to tag, you can even understand Torah. Just pay attention, guys. Think about the world. Think about language. Okay, here we go. So now, what does he claim? I think it's a great verse.
And some of you said, kind of said this. Maybe it's enough if I don't know the truth, as long as society thinks she's married. Because what happens when society thinks she's married? I have to sneak in. And what part of the allure? Part of the allure of the chase. Right? Everyone thinks it's a problem. I'm going to go around them and somehow get it out. It doesn't matter whether she's really married or not. Creating the societal sense that she's married does the same. So before we move on, guys, I spent too much time in this part of share. I think it's an amazing psychology of the Gemara here. Okay, what do you have? We have the sense that sometimes we're precisely attracted by what we shouldn't have. And we have a further. It works even when it's not true. Why would that be? If you asked the Chaim Shmulevitz, what would he say? It's the power of the human imagination. If you ask the Aruch HaNeir, what would he say? Even if society thinks it's us, so you still create the thrill of the chase. Okay? Yes, Jordan. You think it's the same thing?
Not the same.
No, but I think it's the difference. According to the Chaim Shlevitz and Joe, I think on some of you feel like she's really ushering you. I think according to Aruch HaNeir, you know very well she's not married in the slightest. But you love the fact that you have to like sneak around society to get it done. Okay, you can say it's the same. I think it's different. Yeah, Joe. No. Meaning, if you think a woman's married and she's not, you still did not commit adultery. Is that your question, Joe? Look, it's an interesting question in general in terms of philosophy of halacha and legal theory. Like, you want to do the wrong thing but don't succeed. But halacha, like other systems, also treat, like, attempted murder is not the same crime as murder. Okay? Why that is a much longer conversation, but not for us right now. Yes, Simon?
Why would you then lie to say she's single?
Why would you lie?
Because.
No, look, you might have to go back to the other Aruch HaNeir about like a scale. Like you'd miss out on this aspect, you'd get a different aspect. That's a good question, Simon. Yeah.
I was saying like you could be doing one act, like two people could be doing the same exact act, and one's over many and one's not.
Correct. Maybe I didn't change Joe's question. All I meant is the fact that you think you're doing X, if X is not what you're doing, you're simply not doing X.
Yes.
Okay, if I shoot someone because I think he's still alive and it turns out he was dead, I'm not liable for murder.
Okay,
we're good? Okay, let's move on. Okay, that's interesting, number one. I spent too much time on it, but that's okay. It was very interesting and has a lot of mussar for life. Let's go on to number two. What about this harsh psak that Yamut... Like, why are we being so harsh here? Okay, so let us go to... We're going to see four possibilities, guys. Okay, I think you'll find them all interesting. Let's start with Iran. Source 6. Okay, Alma, guys, very good word to know coming up. Afilu avizrayu dara yargavayavar. Okay, in modern Hebrew, you know what avizarimar? Okay, let's see. What's the good English word for it? Not the appendages, but something that goes on the side of something. There's a better word that starts with an A. What is it? No, like you buy it, it's the main thing and the things that come on.
Accessories,
that's what it's in word. Thank you. Thank you. The appendage of something, the accessory of something. What's the claim here? We said it's true. Halakha really values life. The only three things that call for martyrdom. One of three is sexual morality. But what does the Ron say? Big Kiddush. Once it's Ariyot, it's not just Ariyot, but even the accessories of Ariyot. So what do you want to claim? Why did they say he can't see her naked? This is a case of martyrdom. It's a case of martyrdom because it might not be Ariyot proper, but it's Avizrayu. Dario. Now, obviously, that's a concept that needs a lot of elucidation. Like, is every extension of Ariot, by definition, Av Israel, or only certain extensions of Israel? But he wants to argue that it really, right, you don't need a special takana, this really is a case for martyrdom. Because it's not just Ariot proper, the act of relations itself, it's even Av Israel. Okay, let's keep going with Iran. The Ein Lomer Tatam Hu Mishim Shlo Benot Yisrael Pritzot Bariot. Don't tell me the rationale is a special gzeira. Again, it wouldn't be because it's really a case for martyrdom. It's a special gzeira, like the Gemara says. Da'utam alet elamandam epnuyehi, elamandam eshet ishavai, etc., etc. What's his claim, guys? When did the Gemara need to bring extraneous factors, such as the family name, and it's going to create a bad precedent? It only brought those factors when we were discussing?
Unmarried
women. What are the Gemara implying? We understand the Gemara without those factors, if it was a married woman. Now, something interesting just emerged here, guys. I don't know if you caught on to it.
We said we're pretty strict here, right? Arayot plus avizrar darot cause for martyrdom. But what is he claiming? That's only true in which scenario? That's only true if she's eshet ish. What might you infer from this? Pnuya is not a case of. Yes, I'm catching Moses BB just said, guys. It's a very important thing to realize. Halacha has a certain moral code about sexuality, but not every forbidden union is in the listing of Ariot. You might even do it based on Chumash. And remember where the listing of Ariot is in Chumash? It's actually two places, but they're both very close to each other. Right? Very good. But there are other forbidden unions that are not listed there. For example, let us say a Kohen Gadol is going to marry a widow. Right? What could one argue? That is a forbidden union, but it's not Arayot. So it may be that there's a Chumrah here and a Kula, as it were. What's the Chumrah? Arayot is a case for martyrdom. Even the accessories of Arayot, even Avizrayot. But Pnuya is forbidden relations, but it's not Arayot. So what do we need to do to explain why we're so mocking about Pnuya? They needed to bring in extra factors, such as the Gamish Pacha. Yeah, Joe. Okay, let's assume for the second that Pnu is not a Nida. Okay, Joe's right. If today all single women are Nidas, so that makes them back in the category of Arayot. Because Nida is listed in Beit Yurchet and Beit Kachaf. Okay, but if we're talking with the Beit Migdash and women are going to Mikvah for other reasons also, or they're going to Mikvah to go to Harbaya today, right, so then when she's a Pnuya, not a Nida, she would not be in the category of Arayot. Okay, we're good? Okay, that's answer one. Okay, over to the next slide, guys. See, three more answers. Okay, here we go. Back to our friend, the Aruch Lener, Kiryu Yaakov Entlinger. Okay, if you found that a little too machmir, here's another suggestion. Just like the Ran. What is, many of you have this reaction right away. Maybe what's the reason we're not lenient here? Yeah, we don't really trust these doctors. Like, how serious could it be? Not only that, let's say you're a little suspicious right away when they say they better be together or she's going to die. But the kvar huchzuku l'sheker, the betchila amruein lo takan shtibav, akach chazum divrayim. What does he want to claim? Even if you liked their initial diagnosis, right, what might you start to suspect? Hey, how come it keeps shifting? How come the doctors then say, well, if he just sees her naked, he'll still lie? Then, oh, you know what, it'll work if she just, you know, if she just talks to him. At some point, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Right? So maybe you don't have to say it's Avizrael Dariot. Why did we not? How could we be so strict here and make him give up his life? What's the answer? According to the Aruch Lener, we don't really think he's going to give up his life. That would start, solve the whole problem. Says the Aruch Lener, this is simply a case where we don't think the doctors are telling the truth. Ah, if our Sophie Davis representative is getting upset about making fun of the medical establishment. Yeah, go ahead, Moshe, what do you got to say?
Make him better. But like, since the rabbis say no, they're going to go to the next best thing. That like, it might not 100%.
Okay. So, Moses is right. Let's say you want to read this Gemara. We are trusting the doctors. Let's go back to the Ran. So, you just gave a good shot in the Ran. If you ask the Ran, how come they keep switching their mind, changing their mind? You're very good, Moses. Put this in your parish on the Ran. What would the Ran say? It's not that they're not changing their mind, but if you don't let us do A, then we'll switch. Okay, let's try B. You want us to do B, so then our medical position becomes, let's try C. That's right. So the Ran would say we have no reason to suspect them because they're switching positions. I agree, but the Aruch Lener seems to think we don't trust the doctors well. But very good, Moses. Yeah. You know, the conspiracy theory and the doctors over there.
Okay. Yeah, my friend was wondering.
It's not so different than the Aruch Lener at the end of the day. Okay, Joe Stanton.
I can argue with both the and the Ran, right, by saying, well, is it true that Yamut, if he doesn't actually sleep with her, like, if it's not true that he'll die, and there is a next best thing, then they're still lying. Because if you're saying, there's a next best thing, okay, we can do this and it will be not as good as he's dead.
No, that is very clever what you just said. Meaning, if B is really an option, we should have suggested B first. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, or you should have worded your A differently because you
He said he's going to die, but if he's not... Okay, I'm going to read this word. Some of you know, those of you in my bare shirt, which I do my weird tangents, I've been reading a lot of medical literature lately. So there's a guy named Jerome Groopman, who writes a lot of books about how people make medical choices, and one of the things he constantly points out is we think there's always like a right answer. We want our doctor to tell us exactly what we should do. And Groopman argues there's no such thing as a right answer, because often, what happens, there's three different things you could do. Each one has different side effects. Into different possible complications. At that point, what I might consider a bad side effect, you might be willing to live with. So he's a big believer in patient autonomy. Like Groopman said, you have to explain to the patient, here's the three things, and here are the choices. I'm going to put that into Joe's question over here. What do the doctors do after the Chum say no to stage one? But that means they're considering it's possible that they don't have to sleep together for him to get out of his condition. So they should have mentioned that. Yeah, you're balancing, like, what do you mean? It's a radical suggestion to sleep together to save his life. If there's an easier way to do it, wouldn't you at least raise that as a possibility early in the game? Right? Is that your point, Joe?
Yeah.
All right, but that's exactly the Groopman point. Like, but the side effects are a lot bigger the other way. Right?
The side effect is he dies.
No, but I'm talking about the other side effects. What about from her perspective? Yeah. Okay, we're good? That's very interesting. Okay, that was a very interesting debate. I did not think of that beforehand. Right, I'm very happy now. Moses Beebe's defense, they're on, and Joe Stanton's going back to the Aruch HaNer. That was very interesting. Okay, great. So we got two answers on the board. Okay, let's sneak in two more. Okay, let's go to source 8. Okay, Chavis Yar is Rav Yair Bachrach from the 1600s. Very interesting tshuva. He asks like a killer question. Imken kashe yoter, eich yitachein, how is it possible? Tishirim v'kul, have a shechil Shabbos, achil smil zotrei, v'chol haver echmurot, v'lo natilu daber misha, olotar ruma. What a good question. We really care about Chil Shabbos and Melacha, right? What could be more significant than keeping Shabbos? And yet, if someone's life is threatened, it's not even a question. That's not a question. It would be sinful behavior to not break Shabbos. So wait, you're going to tell me that talking to a woman is worse than be Mechal Shabbos? You can Mechal Shabbos to say, but you can't talk? It's hard to imagine. Now, the Ron would have to say, you're right, it's not talking to a woman per se, but since we view that as a accessoriyot, it somehow gets the character of arayot. But it is a difficulty. It's a difficult concept. Okay, so it says the Chavis Yair. Ah, but it seems that way from the Gemara. Umiota Gemara ein raya klal. Don't be, I know what you're thinking, he says. Hey, Simon Ginnell asked me how come it's not a more famous Gemara, but after today it's going to be a famous Gemara. Okay, so don't be Gemara raya from Sanhedrin 9, hey. De horat shahi. Ah, fascinating. What does it mean, horacha? Very important phrase. You know that word? What's a horacha? Yeah, Oren.
An extenuating circumstance?
Great translation. It was a ruling of the moment. It's a special one-time zera. We would normally not say, die and not talk to her. But it was a special thing. It was a horacha, which is similar to what the Gemara says about Penuya, right? Pagam Mishpacha or Penuya Yisrael. But he's claiming that that's true even for... Haven't got what I just said? I think I lost some of you. The Gemara's view is extraneous factors that caused the case of martyrdom in Penuya. But we didn't need those extraneous factors regarding Eish HaTish. Is that not what the Ron argued? Yeah. What does it sound like the Chavad Yars are arguing? Even Eish HaTish was only a case of martyrdom due to extraneous factors, like Horat Sha'a. Okay? Now, how does he see this in the Gemara? He doesn't dare. Guys, they were sensitive to language matters. Look what he says. Lo Shei Asr Mitzadim Menaturah V'achinuch Lashon Maseh Shamar. That's fascinating. What does he want to claim? Is it really needs to be checked in Shas. This is very interesting. How do I know it was like not a general ruling, but was like a one-time emergency measure? What's his claim? Because that's why it's introduced with Maseh. He claims if we introduce a story with Maseh, but he has an analogy in other Gemaras I'm not getting to right now. What does that show? This was not some generic psak. This was a psak in response to the particularities of that episode. Very interesting idea of the Chavis Yair. Now, someone should ask me a bomb question. Okay, on the Gemara, based on the time. Yeah, what do you think? Jordan? I'm sorry? Isn't it against the Gemara? When did the Gemara need to bring in extremists? What did the Gemara say? What was the whole Bishlama? It all makes sense if
she's married.
If she's single, we didn't understand. And then we brought in, but it sounds from him that even for Asian, it only makes sense based on the extraneous factors. Don't worry, he thought of this question.
So he says, I'll do it outside actually because we're out of time. He says, we always knew there were extraneous factors. It's just that we knew that we thought extraneous factors make sense if she is Eshadish. We didn't think extraneous factors make sense if she is a priest. It's a little bit of a difficult read, but we now have a third possibility on the board before we get to the last possibility, which is the most fascinating one. What do you have so far, guys? According to what we have so far, why were Chacham so strict that they said he has to give up his life? If we asked the Ron, what would the Ron say? Avizrayo Darayot. If we asked the Orchoner, what would he say? We don't trust those doctors. If we asked the Chavis Yar, what would he say? It was a special gzeira, okay, to prevent immorality in Israel. Okay, great. Let us go to the last possibility, guys. Okay, so there is a sefer called the Or Gadol. He's not such a famous fellow, but he was from Minsk. He's actually called the Gadol from Minsk. I think his name is Rabbi Yeruchim Perlman, if I remember correctly. And the Or Gadol is not in the Bar Ilan. So I had to type in source 10, but I did my Rav David maneuver, and I discovered that Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer quotes him in source 9. So I was able to get a little more of the Or Gadol in there. And he is a huge Kiddush, guys. It would totally change everything if his Kiddush is correct. Let's see what his Kiddush is. Okay, I'm going to read source 9 first, and we'll go to source 10. Actually, you know what? Let's go source 10 first. It's much more straightforward. Okay. There is a famous Gemara about Hillel. I've got a very interesting diak from an Agadata. Guys, when the Gemara wants to show how dedicated Hillel was to Talmud Torah, who remembers what the Gemara story is? When he can't pay, Hillel is very poor. Right. He can't pay for getting to the Beit Midrash that day. He climbs on the skylight to hear the shir. Okay, what happens? And remember what day of the week it is? Okay, but it starts Friday, ends the story, it comes to the Shabbos. What happens in the morning? Shema Naftali, and see, he's blocking the skylight. They bring him down and they do Chil Shabbos to help him out. What do they say? Ra'ui zeh l'chalel v'te Shabbat. This guy is so dedicated to Torah, it's appropriate to break Shabbos for. Okay? Look what the Or Gadol does with that Gemara. V'avreich echad hirani l'seyek tzat meyoma. He tries to bring a support for my idea. Gabe Hillel, Damru always l'chalel v'te Shabbat. Now that phrase always struck me as a little bit odd. What's a little bit odd about that phrase? It's worthy to break Shabbos for this guy? We break Shabbos for anybody. The guy who's a bum who never shows up this year, right? Or the guy who's interpreted the phone isser of this floor of this building to not include the bathroom. It's a great interpretation. Okay, there's a guy in the main drive inside the bathroom is a separate halachic space, right? You can use your phone in the bathroom. Okay, so now should I reveal his identity? Now you guys have to figure it out. Okay, so now we're back to the Or Gadol. So what do you mean? It's appropriate to be Michal Shabbos for this fellow. Right? The Tamul Lechora, the Mai Bo Bezeh, Halkada Michal, and Michal Yisrum Lezeh. Omnam Leniskel Yish Lamar, fascinating, you guys. Mishim Tehu, Pasham Ba'atzmo, Ubatzmo, if you love this. What a chiddush. What does the Gadol from Mitz think? We love human life in Judaism. We'll save you. We'll be Michal Shabbos to save you. But maybe that does not apply. It's not such a crazy svar. If, what would that not maybe not apply? Yeah, what if someone keeps putting themselves into danger? Maybe we should say, okay, we really value life, but you decide to do dangerous things. Maybe halacha doesn't have to help you, right? You have a right to be saved when it's not your fault. But you're choosing to endanger yourself, like you're playing fast and loose with the halachic system. Maybe you even know we have this principle called pikuach nefesh. Really, in case you get nervous, we don't pass them this way. We pass them even if someone endangered themselves, you violate halacha to save them. But it's not a crazy idea. Maybe that's where it breaks down. So now things get very interesting. If the Gadol from Minsk is right, let's do the Hillel story first. We'll go back to our story. What emerges in the Hillel story? Why did he need to say Ra'ui Zeh L'Chalel V'te Shabbat? Because what was the Hav Amina? What could you have thought? It's a good Shmai might have said outside. I know I gave a good cheer yesterday, but you don't have to endanger yourself to come to my cheer. Right? You had no right to do that, and maybe we would not be Michal Shabbos. Look what he says. B'mashenichlav et atzmal aruba. Achkiven shasad zel l'shem shemayim shenavsho chashka b'torah. Therefore, what were they saying? Basically, even if the Gadol from Minsk is right, Hillel did it out of good intentions, and therefore, you can't be Michal Shabbos. We're good so far. Okay, but now things get really interesting. Whether you like the Hillel example or not, what if we bring it back to our Gemara, guys? What could you say? In our Gemara, it might get even more convincing. Im kenim anachnu bezef, we said it's correct. Im ken yesh lomar b'hadei lebotina. Guys, somebody plug it in for me. What is now a fourth possible explanation for Sanhedrin 9? Hey. What could you say very simply? I think it's a good shot. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, guys. Even if you're a very liberal, sympathetic fellow, like myself. Someone comes and says, Rabbi, I'm so lovesick. If you don't let me sleep with my girlfriend, right, I will die. Right? And I refuse. I'm going on a hunger strike now for a week. Right? Unless you allow it. Okay? What would most of us say to that? That's ridiculous, man. Get a grip on yourself. Right? Life goes on. Right? You don't get a hunger strike. Right? Even if I understand halacha is difficult, but it's not of death-worthy consequences. Right? So what are we basically saying? If the guy really isn't a deathly spirit, that's only because, as it were, he is placing himself in that situation. And therefore, even if he does create a health hazard, we will say that's not a scenario for Pikuach Nefesh. So now this very intriguing Gemara in Sanhedrin now has four possibilities. Again, it gets reviewed very briefly. Ron Avizar Darayot, Aruch Haner, we don't trust the doctors. Chavod Yair, it's a special one-time emergency ruling. And now, the Or Gadol, the Gadol Chaminsk would say, very interesting Chiddush, when you endanger yourself, it's not a case of Pikuach Nefesh. By the way, I would argue, even if the Gadol Chaminsk is wrong, I think he might be right in that case. I want to make a distinction. I didn't see this in the Achron, but I like this distinction. Okay, let's say there might be two scenarios, guys. What's one scenario? Someone did something very foolhardy. But now, what's their situation? They're in danger. What does Halacha say clearly? I should save them. But what about a different situation? Someone now did something foolhardy. Right now, the only reason they're in danger is because they're being foolhardy. Ever see the difference, what I'm trying to say? You might say, what's true in the Hillel scenario? Maybe Hillel shouldn't have done it. But the bottom line is now, he's on the roof covered with snow, and he's in danger. I have to help him. But I would argue in the INA case, the guy says, I'm so lovesick, I'm going to die. I'd say, right now you're still in control of the situation. Right? Right now you're the one generating the danger. So I think even if the halacha rejects the gadol from Minsk, maybe it would still be true in the case of INA. Joe?
How do you learn from the Gemara that he was doing anything bad to himself?
Look, Joe, I'm very sympathetic to people with various psychological disorders. Yeah. But when someone says, if I can't sleep with woman X, I'm going to die, I think that they, for that day, unless they're really insane, they're responsible on some level. Okay, but if he led the doctors to that conclusion, I think we can still say to him, right, I mean, where does it come from? Why did the doctor say that? Right, presumably something has to do with the way he's acting, the way he's talking. Okay. Yeah, Alex, what did you say? Okay, except for one thing, guys. You guys might be... Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I actually don't think Asa means... Okay, let's throw that up for one second. A little Chumash tangent before we get to the last part here, guys. Okay, famous Asa and Yaakov story. Asa comes from the hunt. What does he say? Halitania min adom adom azeh. Ki ayefana... See, that's what he got from the... Took it by heart. One second. Sorry. Wrong passage. Hine enochi olech lamut... Now, it's very interesting, guys. We'll go three pshatim. Okay, what does it mean, hineni holech lamut? What do you think? So I think Alex is interpreting it. I've had such a bad day in the field. You know, I'm dehydrated. If you don't give me that lentil soup, I'm going to die. And I have an alternative reading of pshat in the puzzle. Okay, Asaph's like this guy, and I need that so much that I'm going to kill myself. Anybody else have a suggestion?
Maybe it's like so central to his identity that
it
would
add a
okay.
Meaning eating lentil soup. Okay. Nobody's giving up the bechorah. Yeah, Oren.
Maybe, like, I'm eventually going to die anyway, so what good is the
especially bechorah? Given? Okay. It's true, we're all going to die. We're like Socrates said, we're all mortal, but what else might be? Yes?
Maybe he's just exaggerating.
Okay, first of all, he might be exaggerating. Why might he be more thinking about mortality more than the average person? Yes, maybe he's in a dangerous profession, right? Asaph does not necessarily mean, if you don't give me the lentil soup, I'm going to die now. I'm just going to collapse. Okay, I actually don't think that's a trying to puzzle. Okay, but we'll have to discuss that in Chumash some other time. All right, last shot here, guys. Let us go to the last thing. Okay, I just want to make one point about that as Rabbi Delilah. Okay, because we've referenced before, like my son likes to make fun of yeshiva guys, somehow every topic somehow touches on Shomer Nagir. Okay, that was a pun intended there. Okay, so now, Let us go to the last verse for a second. Okay. Let's go to 11 for 1 second. Chol iser avod klam gevur shevadam apish ein bo mitarak la ba'am tzeklek v'layavur. What do we say now? This is like the Israel Raya idea, right? When is a Raya a case of martyrdom? Not only the death penalty crimes Raya, right? The actual being with your sister, even alive, even if it's just usher, but not a death penalty crime. But now you have to figure out what is a lav Raya, what is not a lav. Okay, here we go. There's a famous machlok din Rambam and Ramban is very relevant here. Okay, what is the Rambam? There's a pasuk that says lo tikrivu legalot erva. What does it sound like? Not only should not have relations, but even lo tikru, don't those things that are close to it. So just like one should not be with a married woman, one should not have a passionate kiss with a married woman either. The Rambam thinks, what kind of isser is that? Deraita. He says that's a real drasha. There's an isser deraita to kiss a married woman. Okay, Ramban says, it's a derabanan. It could be, if I ask you now, is kiss, if you go the Ron theory, forget the other three theories. If you go the Ron, you're trying to figure out whether this is a case of Avos Zarah D'Raya or not. That might depend on if you pass like Rambam or Ramban. So just realize this famous Machloket Ramban has a lot of ramifications. Okay, if we follow the Ron about Avos Zarah D'Raya, should kissing a married woman be Avos Zarah D'Raya? The Rambam should say yes, because it is a law of Arayot. Right? The Ramban would say no, because it's a Derabanan of Arayot. Yes, Jordan. Yeah, for the Ramban, anything short of relations is Derabanan. The Gemara in Sanhedrin?
No, then
Pasuk in
Torah.
Ah.
Like, what does he say from the closet? Like, why would the Torah
mention? Look, you could, why the Torah phrased that way is a good question, but he would say that's a way of referring to, look, it might be the Torah being reticent about these things. Those of you who know, oh, that's never placed before. So you guys, let's go. Those guys in my morning room here. This is good. For those of you who aren't there, this is a good piece of Torah to know. According to the famous three machloket, why Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh? Why does the Rambam think Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh? Because it's a very clean language. What makes it a clean language? There's no direct way to refer to things like the male sexual organ or relations. It's all euphemisms. So according to the Rambam, that's a holy tongue. There's certain things you're supposed to be reticent about in this world. So maybe even with describing Isura, maybe we try to be a little reticent about it. What do you think? All right. Maybe I didn't convince you. All right, very quick review, guys. We have to go to Mincha. Quick review. Okay, we have this very important principle of Maim Ginuvim Yimtaku. Aruch Haner points out that it's Maim Ginuvim even if you want to be Ish as opposed to Pnuya. What does that seem to indicate? It's not just Asr Mutter. There's actually a scale along the Maim Ginuvim passage. Some people, they like it if it's really forbidden. It can't just be kind of forbidden, which is interesting psychologically. What was this very good question on Daf Chavav? It's a lie. How could a lie generate? I thought there were two different answers. I thought Chaim Shalevitz's answer was, your imagination is good enough for you. It's an amazing psychological principle. And according to Arfner, what's the key? You like the thrill of the chase that society thinks it's usher. Okay, which Joey Trubnik had a good version of that also. Okay, which is also this good muster for guys. One piece of muster here. Right? There's a lot of enjoyable things without Maim Ginuvim. You don't need that. You don't need the Maim Ginuvim to enjoy life, right? Only, okay, next. What about this point, Sanhedrin? Why are we so machmir? Okay, we had four answers we discussed already. Finally, we have, if you're in Avos Zarah D'Raya, how would kissing a married woman play in? That depends. The famous Machlokas Rambam Ramban on Shomer Negiah, is it a D'Raya or a D'Rabbanan? There's more to say here, but I guess it's time for Mincha. All right, everybody have a great Shabbos.